T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday, 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams is going to step in studio with us here in the Kia Studios.
Fame.
I already know some stuff Wendy's going to talk about.
Boo.
And it's funny and weird.
It's weird.
So be sure to be tuned in 20 minutes. But we're really excited to welcome to the show a guy that we haven't talked to, well, probably since the end of last baseball season, the voice of the Atlanta Braves on Fox Sports South, Chip Carey. Chip, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing really well.
Doing well. Very much looking forward to baseball season. I know that you are, too. And I don't know if this is true for you or not, but it is for us here. Just the excitement of the talent on this team, maybe the way that the season ended last year. Doesn't it kind of maybe feel even more exciting headed into this season and headed into this spring training than it has in a few years?
Well, I couldn't agree more. Look, I think the theme that Brian Snitker has echoed in the early days of spring training, especially, as you mentioned, the way that 2019 ended, is some unfinished business. I think the Braves feel like they let themselves down, let Braves country down with the outcome of that series against the Cardinals, and I think that they felt last year they had a team that, quite frankly, had a chance to get to the World Series, and I think that's the mantra that they've taken into this spring training. They're eager to get there. They know they've got a very tough division that they have to fight their way through to get back into postseason play. But as Brian Snitker said the other day, the Braves are a pretty good team. And, yes, Josh Donaldson leaving Smarts. Keuchel and Teron aren't there, and Cole Hamels is going to start on the injured list. But this is still a very good, very dangerous, and now it's an experienced club. So to your point about everybody excited and getting ready to go, I think that's a great way to look at the equation for the Braves. And our coverage starts on Saturday and the regular season on the 26th, so off we go. It's here.
It's unbelievable. We were just talking before you came on with us how they got a game on Saturday. And going back to what you were just talking about with the whole Josh Donaldson thing, I think that is probably the biggest headline that he is not here. And are they going to – what in your gut feeling, what do you feel? Do you think it's going to be a platoon thing? Or do you think this team really wants – organization really wants Austin Riley to be the third baseman?
I think they want the best player to be the third baseman, whoever earns the job. And look, Johan Camargo, we're all so short-sighted. Let's think back to what Johan Camargo did 2 years ago. A guy hit almost .280, at 16 homers, drove in 60 runs, and nobody knew who he was. Mm-hmm. The guy's a really, really good player who didn't have a good year last year, was disappointed that Josh Donaldson came in and basically was handed his job. From what I'm told, Johan's coming to camp in excellent shape. He's motivated. He wants to win the job. And Austin Riley is a guy that has unbelievable potential, but he's learning on the fly at the most difficult level that there is. I think it's good that the Braves have choices. Look, as a fan, do I want the Braves to get all the great players no matter the cost? Absolutely. But I think Alex Anthopoulos is paid big money to make difficult decisions, and that is to balance the short-term and long-term health of the franchise. And in his estimation, the contract that Josh rightly earned with Minnesota was past the comfort level that the organization has. I respect the honesty. I respect the decision he made, and we'll see how it plays out with two very talented guys or perhaps someone else that's brought in if that plan B doesn't work out.
Yeah, and Chip, I think that probably has been the topic or the question that we've spent most of our time on this offseason is whether or not Donaldson's mm-hmm. going to be back, and then learning that he isn't back, how are they going to replace him? Let's just say that is the biggest question headed into spring training. If it is, what else is on your mind? What other questions do you have that you'd like to have answered from this team as spring training plays out?
Well, obviously, with Cole Hamels having a sore shoulder to start things off, that's not what the Braves had in mind. He's going to start the season behind and on the injured list. So the back end of the rotation, how's that going to work out? Number one. Number two, what does Felix Hernandez have left in the tank? You're ostensibly trading Julio Teheran's innings for the experience of Felix Hernandez, who's in great shape and wants to prove that he can still pitch at this level. This guy's been a great pitcher for some awful Seattle teams.
Yeah.
I think fans will love what he can do if he shows flashes of being the Felix Hernandez of old. Sean Newcomb would be C on the list. Can Sean throw enough strikes to stay in rotation? He wants to start. He was very, very good out of the bullpen, but as we've seen, when he doesn't throw strikes, he gets hammered, and the Braves can't afford that. And most importantly is pitching depth. In the rotation. Without the innings of Julio Teheran, without Dallas Keuchel, with, as I said, Hamill starting on the injured list, guys like Tuki Toussaint and Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright and others, this is an opportunity to step up and show the organization they're ready to make the next step forward, something that, frankly, they didn't do last year. So for me, it starts and stops, as it always does with the Braves, with starting pitching. How those guys perform, I think, is going to have a huge tail to a huge part of the tale that we'll figure out in 2020. And if Hamels can pitch like he did in the first half of the year with the Cubs, I think the Braves are going to be very, very happy with him.
Chip, what would it say about some of those young pitchers that you talked about if Hernandez was able to win a spot in this rotation?
Nothing. It would in no way be an indictment, in my opinion. Look, let's take a step back here. We're also enamored with starting with young guys in the system. Let's think back 15, 20 years ago, and I'm going into my 30th year of broadcasting Major League Baseball. When you think back to how things operated 20 years ago, guys would get 800, 900, 1,000 innings in the minor leagues before they got to the show. Now, guys are number one picks a year and a half out of college, and they're coming up and pitching at this level. They just don't have enough time to develop, not just as pitchers, but as human beings, as professional athletes. And this rush and this haste to get them there, perhaps before their due date, I think in the long term probably hurts them more than helps them. So, look, they're going to be ready when they're ready. The Braves still feel like they have tremendous upsides, as do I. The Braves have tremendous minor league coaches, major league coaches as well, to get these guys to where they know they can be. But in this instant information society that we live in, everybody wants the answer now, and it just takes time. And that's the most difficult part. It's, with these young players, every day is March 1st. You want it to be Christmas morning. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Why has that happened? Because I'm with you. It might be a societal thing. Like, we are that way. As we're a microwave society, we want things immediately. When we talked to John Smoltz throughout the season, I talked to him a couple weeks ago, he said the same thing. He said, if I was treated the way that young pitchers are treated now, I never would have made it. Didn't really figure it out till his mid to late 20s. Why has that become the trend to where we're so quick to discard guys? They're 22, 23 years old. When did that happen and why?
Well, I think because expansion one, because there's a shortage of pitching. There are more teams than there were 20, 25, 30 years ago. That's number one. Number two, I think a win is so important. And now we deal with controllability and service time issues and all that kind of stuff. All of those things create this stew that doesn't allow kids to develop. And because of the aforementioned shortage of pitching, many teams don't have the luxury that the Braves do, which is if a guy goes down, you can bring a talented kid up to sort of, kick the rust off or kick the training wheels off at this level and know that he's going to go back to AAA and continue to work on his craft. It seems to me that because there are so many more teams and because there are so many pitchers and because there's so much of an emphasis on bullpens instead of starting, because there are so few innings that are pitched in the lower levels of the minor leagues to preserve those bullets when they get to the major leagues, if you will, guys just, they are, it's the proverbial candle that burns both ends. It burns out very quickly and very brightly, and the really, really good ones are the guys that can pitch 10, 12 years in the show, and the other guys, they just sort of flame out and become bullpen guys. I don't like that trend. I wish, we saw in the World Series how important starting pitching is and can be if it's allowed to be used the way the Nationals did. And hopefully, in my opinion, we'll see that pendulum start to swing back a little bit toward, teaching guys to pitch seven innings and get through a lineup three times and then turn things over to your bullpen. I think that's how the Braves were successful. That's how the Nationals were successful. And hopefully Atlanta in 2020 will be as well.
Absolutely correct. And I'm going to piggyback on this prospect thing. Are there any of the guys, because we know about Pache and Waters and all that. We think they're going to come up this year at some time. We know, like you said, the whole control thing that they like to do to these young players. But, I mean, which one of those guys do you think is going to come up and make an immediate impact this year? Does it hinder on whether Ender starts hot or not? Do we see Pache sooner than later?
I don't know the answer to that. That's way above my pay grade. but again, one thing I love about – one of the many things I love about Brian Snitker and Alex Anthopoulos is they are calculated and they are patient and they are very, very aware of, as I said, the short-term and long-term interest, not just of the organization but the player. Remember, Ronald Acuna Jr. did not start the season with the major league team. Now we can talk about service time and all of that, but they wanted to make sure he was ready. The same with Pache and Waters. They have said these guys are really, really talented guys. They haven't played enough. They need to go play. There are things that they can work on. The player will tell you when they're ready. So that's number one. Number two, as far as immediate impact, I think that's the wrong word. I mean, it's a pretty stacked lineup,
right,
and it's a pretty stacked roster. There really aren't that many jobs that are available for a young guy to crack this lineup, except, you know, Riley or Camargo for that matter. But if a trade happens or somebody gets hurt, I think the Braves feel very confident with what they have. And when those guys show that they're ready to hit big league pitching and play big league defense and do all the things that you have to do at this level, they'll be here. The Braves have shown no hesitation to rely on young players. We know that.
Kip Carey joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as we get ready for Braves spring training. They've got a game on Saturday.
Wow.
Kip joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Kip, you mentioned it. You've been in baseball for decades. Obviously, your family has been in baseball for a really long time as well. With the way that baseball has handled this Astros situation, and I know you were around during the strike back in the 90s and the fallout from the steroids era, how are you feeling the public perception of Major League Baseball is right now headed into this season? Does it feel different than it has? Does it feel similar to some of those? I'm interested to get your perspective on this current state of baseball with what's going on with the Astros.
Well, nothing's wrong with baseball per se. The sport's still the same. It's still the greatest game ever invented. As a fan, I'm mad. I'm angry. I feel cheated. When you have a systematic, undetectable, indefensible system that gave you a competitive disadvantage, you basically turn the marquee event, the World Series, and frankly, a regular season into wrestling. You know, if you want to do that, let's just go ahead and have the rehearsals and then, you know, go and stage the event. That's not what baseball is. That's number one. And again, this is just my opinion. Number two, Rob Manfred was in a no-win situation. He had a choice. I can either punish the players and get my pound of flesh, or I can get to the truth so this never happens again. And let's be honest, you know, a lot of the players who are on their moral high horse and are saying, well, Rob Manfred should have done this or that. Well, if it was their team or their player, none of those guys are going to step forward and admit anything if they know they're going to get suspended and lose millions of dollars. Right. So that's a canard. He had no choice. He had to grant immunity in order to get to the truth and get to the bottom of it. Would I like to see an asterisk or something put next to the Astros title? Absolutely. It wasn't won fairly. But to Rob Manfred's credit, he said this the other day down in Northport, once you go down that rabbit hole, are we going to do that for the 51 team? Are we going to do that for Mark McGwire and Sammy? I mean, you have to at some point put a stop to it. In the court of public opinion, and that's really where the Astros, I believe, are getting punished, and they'll forever be known as cheaters, and rightfully so. And I think that's a stigma and a stain that for those guys that participated in that will have to wear, and that's probably as bad a punishment as you can get besides the, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of unending criticism that Jim Crane has gotten, those players in Houston have gotten, and Major League Baseball has gotten. Ultimately, it's up to the fans to decide whether it was a fairly won title or not. And I think that most reasonable people would say that any advantage that was taken the way they did was cheating. And they'll have to wear that forever.
The best in the business, baby.
We appreciate it, man.
Thanks,
great
Jim.
To hear your voice. Okay, it means
fellas.
Baseball's right around the corner.
Take care.
Okay, I appreciate it. We'll see you Saturday. Okay, guys, have a great day.
The
Thank
best
you.
In the business.
Kip Carey there from Fox Sports South.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.